We Talk Podcast presents. What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua Adam, William Arbuthnot, not with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Don't hinder gender.
No, not at all.
It's been 1 week. We had to take time and think everything out. And what is our final thoughts now after a week of Jinder Mahal as the 50th ever WWE champion?
He's going to lose the title. You got to try stuff every once in a while.
But when is he going to lose the title? Because they have a tour of India in September.
Ooh, this might take a little bit then. You know what? I'm not, it's not the end of the world for me. I'm not sitting here going, oh God, how dare this happen? I'm like,
well, let's just talk about it as far as a wrestling circumstance. I look at it and, you know, obviously a lot of people are like, this is the guy that had like an 8-month losing streak and all of a sudden is on top of the WWE. But I also think that, look, the one cool thing everyone loves about sports is that there's always upsets, right? Yeah. You look at the NCAA tournament this year, South Carolina, nobody thought anything of them, and all of a sudden they beat Duke, and then all of a sudden they're in the Final Four with a chance to go to the national championship. Stuff like this can happen where people and teams that you don't suspect happens in the Olympics sometimes too, and those are the athletes we love the most in the Olympics. The difference with wrestling is it's this weird thing of you build people up. You don't build athletes up as much as you would in professional sports and, say, the Olympics. You know, if you go to the Olympics, you're expecting Shaun White to kill it in snowboarding. You're not expecting some random person to come back and win. I mean, the biggest underdog stories from Olympics, Eddie the Eagle or the Jamaican bobsled team, both losers, really. They captured everyone's heart because of how hard they tried, but they never won medals. Like, neither one of those, Eddie by himself and the Jamaican bobsled team overall, never conquered any medal, bronze to gold, in those Olympics. So wrestling's a different thing. We like to see people rise up the card. You know, there's always that brass ring that Vince talked about, and then we hear about the brass ring, but we want to see guys like Sami Zayn and Cesaro grasp that, which when you see someone like Cesaro and you hear, oh, he can't talk, but then you see someone like Jinder Mahal get the title, it's a little frustrating as a wrestling fan.
Yeah, no, there's definitely that frustrating, but I've just come to terms with it is what it is. This is what Vince wanted to do. Vince is going to do what Vince wants to do for as long as Vince is alive, so I'm just going to be like, it is what it is. There's still good wrestling out there, so this isn't the end of the wrestling world. So realistically, if you don't really like the Jinder stuff, you can support AJ, Finn, KO. You can watch those guys, but you can go and watch New Japan or ROH or PWG or whatever you want. So reality is, this is how it is. This is what we live in. Jinder is champion, and realistically, you can go, okay, he's the champion, but I can go and watch Okada and Omega on June 11th. Or I could go watch PWG, or I could go watch ROH, or I can go watch Kevin Owens and them. And then when Jinder pops up into my TV, if I don't want to watch him, I don't care for it, then I tune out for a little bit. Then I'll come back and I'll watch what I want to watch. So realistically, you get to pick and choose what you want to watch. So this Jinder thing has barely fazed me at all.
I think the interesting thing about the Jinder thing is it makes you care. Like, you care about the import of this match. I mean, everyone was, no doubt, the most excited about Kevin Owens and AJ Styles going into the last pay-per-view. But really, we walked out talking more about Jinder and Randy because everyone was like, well, they actually put the title on this guy. And you were caught, at least I know I was, in every second of that match being like, are they actually going to pull the trigger?
See, now that's going to wear off because now that's gone. Because now you're going to be like, oh, they pulled the trigger. Sure, you're going to be waiting for him to drop the title, but that's with any champion. You're waiting, okay, when is this going to be? Because there is going to be no runs like CM Punk. But what there's going to be is there going to be a guy that carries a title for a couple months. Does he carry it to September? Maybe. Maybe he goes into India and challenges for the title. But realistically, I think it's going to be a couple months, and then they're going to put the title on to whoever's next. I don't know whoever's next, but I'm not. Again, he's going to drop the title at some point, and then he'll probably fade into obscurity. But then again, he could also stick around. It's the land of wrestling where everyone was up in arms when JBL won the title off Guerrero. So it could be another rehashing of that, or it could be just a guy that has his moment in the sun and then it's over. And I mean, on the flip side, you look how genuinely happy this guy is. This is a guy that was never, ever, 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 ever supposed to be at this point. And now he is. And you can see it when he's out doing his little bits of media, how genuinely happy and excited he is to have that title with him. Mm-hmm. Just because we're not happy about it and not everyone's over the moon doesn't mean he's not over the moon, doesn't mean his family's not over the moon. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and look, I'm willing to... I think the buzz is there for him. It'll be interesting because apparently, like, there is trouble. Like, India obviously has a great population, but from what I'm hearing, the streaming rights are kind of what they are with, like, in India. That's how things work. And even Japan, like, no one really buys New Japan World in Japan. It's more of a North American type of project. So it's going to be very interesting how they try to get the network there, because it's streaming-based things, even like a Netflix, aren't really something that you see in a country like India.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I credit Dave Meltzer for that, but when he was making his point about this whole gender thing and their outreach there, I mean, it just this week they got a shirt for him. I mean, let's make no mistakes. I've liked a lot of stuff for Jinder. I like the celebration. I like the carpet by the limo. But this is all done for the India market, and it's just weird that they're not don't have a major streaming influence over there, and the fact that Jinder just got a shirt this week.
It again goes back. I guess I've gotten used to the way WWE does things. Mm-hmm. It's kind of almost feels like it's a step back. They're a step behind trying to catch up. So.
Yeah, this one I think just caught a lot of people off guard because it was just so sudden, you know? There's been a lot of sudden things, like even like Roman Reigns, we saw that coming, you know? Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, this is the guy they really like in the Shield. And we kind of, like, okay, get ready for Roman Reigns to be a big deal. No one saw this gender thing coming at all.
No. I think no one saw this gender thing coming, but I also think... You mentioned Roman. You know he's going to win and lose a title. Mm-hmm. And it harkens back to the original thing with this is probably Jinder's one and only championship he's going to win.
It could be. He could get over. I mean, a lot of people right now are saying he's the worst WWE champion of all time. And I think that's unfair, to your point also, because this guy's been champion for 7 days now. It's not really fair. And people were saying that he's the worst champion after the first day. It's not very fair to not even give someone the benefit of the doubt. I thought he had a really strong showing on SmackDown this week. In ring, he's passable. I think I'm being nice with that. But we'll see. I think people care when he has a title right now. People care if he wins and if he loses. And that's very important when you have a champion. If you had Randy Orton, people are just like, oh, it's Randy with the title. Who cares? At least with this... Every match that he has now, I'm like, is this when Jinder's losing it? There's some added stakes to every single title match that Jinder has now.
Yeah, there's some intrigue and there's some interest. And I mean, it is what it is. So you just got to kind of go, this is what we're given. We're just going to kind of roll with this. And eventually we will get back to something that we are more intrigued by. But for now, this is what it is.
And maybe he gets over. We don't know that yet.
Yeah, it's a very real possibility.
Anything else on the Jinder thing?
Not really. I'm kind of like, it's there.
The only thing I would have done different in that match is I would have had Randy kick
on their head.
I would have had Randy kick out of the first Colossus just to add drama to the match.
Would have been nice, but
yeah. Then Randy gets up. Randy goes for an RKO. Then he gets that, and then he hits the Colossus. That would have been a nice little added bonus just to have that kick out there, because there was adding drama to the match there. And it would have added a little bit more added drama. But nonetheless, I think the drama was there. They got their Undertaker losing streak kind of looks, I guess you can say.
Yeah, shock.
So, hey, it worked. We'll see how it works in India. It's a very intriguing thing as we go forward with this year.
Yes, yes. This will definitely be something we'll look. 2017 will always be the year that Jinder wasn't hindered.
Yeah. So, let's talk about anything else from another thing from SmackDown, I guess I should bring up too, is Shinsuke Nakamura went from being like a one-time oddity on the main roster to all of a sudden being in opening promo, backstage promo, and having a match on SmackDown. Are you fine with this? Or do you like the idea of him being like a one-time kind of special edition in let's say, vein of like a Brock Lesnar?
There's no way he was going to be a Brock Lesnar. I think anyone that had their thought in their heads was crazy, because there was no way the company was going to do that with this guy. They are basically going to have this guy plastered all over their product, just like what they do with everyone else. It was the same when KO came in. Everyone thought, oh, he'll be like Brock Lesnar. No. He was involved in the brawl with Brock Lesnar.
Well, I guess the thing with this is, though, is that the way they had initially built him going into that Backlash pay-per-view, he was built like he's a special thing that you don't get to see all the time.
That was just the build for that. I think we're going to... Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they're going to carry on with having him more of a... being not all the time featured, but I really believe that they're going to be pushing hard with him. He's going to be involved. He's going to be a regular on SmackDown. I mean, look, AJ's a regular on SmackDown and no one complains.
Yeah, but AJ's different than what Shinsuke is, you know?
I don't know. I honestly, if we're going to go in-ring style, I prefer AJ's in-ring over Shinsuke's. Just a personal preference.
No, I agree. I think with the pomp and circumstance of the entrance and what he does in the ring, I think that's why some people were calling for him to be more of a special attraction.
I don't think it was going to happen. I think there's no way that unless Shinsuke had the box office draws that Brock Lesnar did from UFC, then I don't think Vince was ever going to do it any other way. And Vince sees money, so he's going to continue to put him out there. I mean, let's go back to WWF. Was Austin ever considered a special attraction?
I don't think we could ever assume what that there would be. I don't think the idea of what Brock is now was ever there at the point. But when you saw him, it was a big deal. But
yeah, like you look at Austin. Like, I mean, even Goldberg, was he was kind of WCW's equivalent to a special attraction. But how much was he there week in and week out?
It's been a while. I can't remember as much. It's not like Brock, where Brock maybe does 12 shows a year.
But, I mean, do you really want that? Do you want just someone doing 12 shows a year? I mean,
I think it's a nice... I think it builds them up, you know? I think it builds the
but look at
the
how quickly,
mystique of that character up.
But look at how quickly people have turned on Brock.
Mm-hmm. But still, he'll wrestle at the July pay-per-view, and it'll still be a big deal that Brock's there. And then when you see him at SummerSlam, even though it's back-to-back months, it's a big deal to get to see Brock.
But, I mean, here's the other thing. We eventually want Shinsuke to be champion. So is Shinsuke going to work the same Shinsuke have worked the same schedule as Brock with the title?
I don't know. But his moveset is definitely limited, too, right now. It's definitely not the same as what we saw in Japan. It's kind of almost a five moves of doom situation with him. And that goes to a bigger conversation of the main roster right now versus the NXT roster of guys getting the go and guys getting the go WWE style.
Yeah. There's definitely a difference. But, I mean, this was ultimately what's going to happen with, like, Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe's another guy that you could consider in the veins of being a special attraction. But it's just Samoa Joe.
Joe, again, is a guy I thought they could be just in the main roster. It was just the idea, the pomps and circumstance of Shinsuke and the interest. And it was just how they built him the first bit. Like, they made him... Not really a guy that goes on television, and all of a sudden the next night after he's finally debuted the pay per view, he's doing everything. I think it was just that sudden, all of a sudden it's everything at once is that caught people's attention. It probably was always going to be that way, but I think it was just such a slight turn for people that people will wonder, well, was he supposed to be like this? And then they changed their mind after that dull match with Dolph.
I don't think that played so much as a role. I think that was the plan. But I mean, again, it's just 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's build up a little bit more evidence and build up a little bit more. So if Shinsuke is plastered through all of next upcoming Tuesday, then we know where things are kind of headed.
Did you like how he was overall presented on SmackDown? I didn't really like that backstage promo because I don't think he'd say anything like "You'll be in my playground." It was a little didn't seem like something Shinsuke Nakamura would say.
It's gonna take I think it's gonna take a little bit for the footing and everything to click, but I do think they see enough money and Shinsuke that I'm not worried. So any little things that kind of pop up here and there, I'm just gonna kind of let it play out. Like even the artist thing is now kind of dying off, and then now they're going with the rock star. So
yeah, I know.
It's what the main roster does. This is exactly what they do, and this is how they push. Like, look at how many new nicknames AJ's got since being on SmackDown. It's just something that they do and push, and they have their buzzwords, and they have their hashtags, and they just push and push and push and push and push and beat it to death. But that's just the way the main roster is. I mean, that's something that you kind of go, you know, eventually it will change, but the only way it's going to change is with Vince McMahon being out of the picture, because this is Vince's vision, and this is how it's going to stay.
Going on next, back to Backlash, and a little bit with SmackDown. Tyler Breeze and Fandango, Breeze Dango, a lot of up and down, side to side of their matches, especially the one from Backlash. You and I enjoyed it, but a lot of people kind of thought it was kind of hokey and stuff. But I think sometimes that works, and I think eventually you got to the match on Tuesday and they had built up enough trust with people that the people were buying on those near falls, and you wouldn't have thought that for Breezango just even like a month ago.
Yeah. I enjoyed what they did with Breezango. I thought this is exactly what you need. You need to have a variety of different things that are presented to a viewer, because viewers view things differently and different things are going to resonate with them. So Breeze Dango match is going to resonate with someone differently than someone that is really excited by Jinder Mahal. It was two very different things, and I think Breeze Dango has done an excellent job. I love when I get to watch them. Their fashion files, everything. It's just that character and personality that's coming out that is absolutely key for these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I liked the role in the ring. I was entertained by it. At the end of the day, that's what this is, and I don't think they're making the Usos look silly. I think the Usos' next feud is going to be the New Day.
Yeah.
I don't think Breezango is going to win the titles, but I think they've definitely got themselves over to be an entertaining act that maybe does deserve those tag titles, even if it is for a short term.
Yeah. I think this is building blocks for them, and I think the fashion files are going to be a part of what's going to help kind of propel them forward.
Tyler Breeze was going nowhere.
Yeah.
He was going nowhere fast, and Fandango, with guys you and I were kind of talking off the air at the beginning of the year, being like, could this be a guy that we see in the indies? And now they're very valuable commodities that definitely need merch because people will buy their merch.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds you a little bit of Heath and Rhino last year. They had a nice little buzz for a bit, and this can kind of have the same buzz for a bit as well.
Yeah, and that's all you got to do. And the thing is, I think both these guys are creative. I don't think that buzz has to die out. You just kind of got to let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And on a show with SmackDown that has a show like Talking Smack, I think that opens up the windows for more possibilities for them.
And the last thing from SmackDown, we have the Money in the Bank was announced.
Yep.
So you have your six participants in there. We have Baron Corbin, AJ Styles, Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Sami Zayn. I really only see two possible winners of this, maybe three.
Yeah, there's only... Realistically, I'm still sticking with Baron Corbin.
I'd say Corbin, Shinsuke, and then Sammy with an outside chance.
I'm just gonna keep sticking with Baron Corbin. He's gonna be the one that's.
He seems like the most obvious choice.
Yeah. So maybe we get a little bit of a swerve, but I think Baron's gonna be the way to go.
Shinsuke wouldn't make much sense of it, but I was kind of surprised to see him in that ladder match. To be honest, it's just weird to think about Shinsuke Nakamura in a ladder match.
Yeah. It's going to happen. I don't think he's ever really I don't think they really ever wrestled ladder matches in Japan. So this will be
They don't. So it'll be interesting to have him in. And it's interesting, too, to have him and AJ fighting in the same ring. I don't think it's a big deal in the way like they're not fighting each other one-on-one yet.
Yeah.
It's kind of a tease of what to get in. With how, like, what you have for these rosters now, it's very hard to keep them entirely apart in tag matches. But the important thing is to keep them away in singles competition.
Yes, yes. Don't give that match away for free.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess we go to Raw really quick before we get to the bigger story of the week with the Hardys. Raw, we had a Finn and Ken. Why am I saying Ken Anderson? Who am I thinking? Carl Anderson. Match with no build. That was interesting. But a really good Heyman promo that made Finn look really strong. He seems like the most obvious winner of their five-pack challenge.
So it's going to be Seth Rollins.
It could be. Oh, by the way, too, on SmackDown, they have the women's five-pack. But theirs is an elimination, but this Raw pay-per-view one isn't. That's very confusing.
Different shows.
Who do you see winning the SmackDown women's one for this Tuesday?
Charlotte.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would say, though, I think Charlotte's going to win it, and then I think we're going to see Miss Nikki Bella face her at the SummerSlam pay-per-view.
Yeah, that'd be a fair call.
And then maybe we'll get that Women's Money in the Bank that's been rumored still.
Yeah, that's still being floated out there. So,
Raw, though, what did you think about the Finn and the Paul Heyman promo?
I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah, I thought you maybe went on YouTube and saw it.
I haven't. I've been busy.
Okay, so Raw, we don't really need to bother talking about because Joel missed it.
Yeah, I was driving, so.
Joel was driving from Winnipeg, you idiots.
Yeah.
Whoa. So, I guess let's get to the biggest, like, story as far as lawsuits are involved. And this was an interesting week for the Hardy stuff, Joel.
I'm going to let you take care of all of this because it's quite intense, quite in depth, and it's messy and it's dumb. I got nothing more.
Okay, so Ed Nordholm, who I'm not exactly sure of his overall position with, I think is he the president of TNA, Impact Wrestling, whatever it's called now?
I guess so.
Ed Nordholm talked to Live Audio Wrestling. He talked to John Pollock. And during that interview, they talked about the Hardys. And one of the interesting parts on there was that he said the WWE had no interest in the Hardys. So I'm going to just read the entire statement that is written up on the Fight Network. You can go find the entire thing up in there because there's a lot to break down in this. And I can't do this off the top of my head, because there's a lot, and it definitely seems like something's going to go to court. So, Joel, at any point, since we're on webcam doing this, if you have a question about something, just raise your hand, and I'll stop, and you can bring up a point on that. Work for you?
Yeah.
Okay, so, wrestling president Ed Nordholm sent out a lengthy email full of email exchanges and a timeline of correspondence between himself with a member of the WWE. We still don't know who this member of the WWE is. Keep that in mind. We will talk about that later. Matt and Hardy's legal representatives. In addition, Nordholm also included Hardy's 2015 independent contract agreement he signed with Impact Wrestling under the former management. Okay. With language outlined in regards to intellectual property and the ownership defaulting to the promotion, Nordholm stated in a release. So before I get into this too, should be added too that, number one, Rebbie Hardy is upset that they leaked this contract because they're saying that's illegal. And they're saying there's another contract that claims they were allowed the Broken Brilliant stuff. Anyways, in a response to an ongoing speculation concerning our position with respect to the Broken Brilliant's creative, I am providing this detailed log of our communications on the subject and the contractual structure of our relationship with Matt Hardy with respect to the intellectual property managed. There has never been any agreement from Impact Wrestling and the Hardys that there's never been any agreement from Impact that the Hardys were key contributors to the development of the characters and storyline, or that Matt and Jeff Hardy executed on their roles in spectacular fashion. But the position taken by the Hardys is a massive disservice to the the contributing, I can't say that word. What am I looking for?
Contributed,
yeah, sorry. Of the rest of the creative team at Impact Wrestling, including Jeremy Borash, Dave Lagana, Matt Conway, and Billy Corrigan, and is at total odds with terms of their contract. Any thoughts on that statement there, Joel?
No, you keep the ball rolling.
The Hardys would have you believe that Anthem is somehow avoiding their lawyers to address this. This is the log of our communication with the Hardys and or their lawyers. It is clear that we have been avoiding them. They're saying that sarcastically, obviously. From here, Norholm gives his addition. So, March 10th, Norholm speaks with executives at Ring of Honor about the Broken Brilliance being used in Ring of Honor shows. I indicated willingness to provide agreement that would allow the creative to be used in Ring of Honor shows and encourage Ring of Honor to have Matt speak with me if he wanted to pursue the discussion. So that was March 10th. March 11th, Nordholm spoke at length with Matt by telephone about the structure by an amicable agreement for the use of the Broken Brilliance character. Okay, that's on the 11th. On the 14th, Matt sent a text to Ed Nordholm, 4:15. Tried giving you a call. It rained, went busy. I'm open to working things out. As we spoke about. The lawyer who represented me is interested in seeing your offer. My lawyer's email is not there, which you could send the offer to review. And I responded to the text Nordholm did at 6:41. Thank you, Matt. I was supposed to be flying into New York today, and I'm a little twisted. I will pull together with our lawyers and try to get it over to your lawyer tomorrow or Thursday at the latest. Okay, so that was on March 14th. 2 days later, March 16th at 8:25. I feel like I'm a lawyer in this.
Yeah.
March 16th at 8:25, I sent an update text to Matt. Hi, Matt. My lawyer got me a draft too late to get reviewed for today. I will look at it in the morning. Sorry for the delay. And he responded, 9:16. Okay, he's ready for it. Thank you for the update. March 17th, counsel for Anthem Wrestling delivered a draft proposal to Matt Hardy. Not anything until the 24th, counsel for Anthem Wrestling followed up with Matt counsel requesting comments on the proposal. On the 27th, counsel for Matt Hardy responded that they have been away and have not reviewed the proposal but will be back in the next few days. After that, no further communication happened until the 18th. What happened between then, Joel?
Oh, I don't know. What happened? Does it involve something with the ring that has honor?
No, it doesn't. It has something to do with the WWE.
Oh. Jolly Gee Willikers. And it's...
Yeah. So in this time, WrestleMania happens and they go to the WWE. So on the 18th, counsel for Matt Hardy leaves a voicemail for the counsel. I hate this counsel and these words, Joel. They're very interesting. For Anthem Wrestling. Anthem Wrestling? When did it become Anthem Wrestling? Asking to arrange a meeting. On the 20th, Nordholm contacts WWE by email to determine the veracity of internet rumors concerning WWE interest in the Broken Brilliance. So Nordholm contacted WWE because, you know, the buzz was that WWE wanted the Broken characters. WWE responded by an email, there is no interest on our end. This is on the 21st. April 21st as well, counsel for Matt Hardy sends a follow-up message requesting a meeting. On the 27th, lawyers speak to arrange a meeting. May 16th, lawyers meet, but no agreement reached. The correspondence between Nordholm and an unnamed WWE official appears to have begun with Nordholm reaching out to talk to WWE, with the response on the online reports that WWE was seeking the rights to the Broken Hardy IP and that Nordholm had been in talks with the Hardy's lawyers. The WWE official had not heard the rumors, checked with their team, and responded to Nordholm that the rumors were unfounded and said, no interest on our end in getting involved. Any info out there is contrary to what you're hearing online. Well, next is Rebbe Hardy. So all your thoughts on all that stuff right there, Joel.
This is just one big mess. That's all it is. This is you, like... You're going to continue, and there's going to be more, but it's just getting more and more into big words
Do you want me to do the Rebbe Hardy and then finish, and you can go for the rest?
Yeah, I can.
So this is from this is all from Rebbe Hardy Moley on Twitter and a statement. Long short story. TNA tried to literally sales pitch on WWE Broken Gimmick, which isn't legally theirs, and they said, lols, yeah, no thanks. Anthem mad because WWE didn't fall for their offensive money grab. That type of business, quotes, is right on par with Jeff Jarrett and his gold scams. I just think it's cute that TNA feels they need to prove themselves to randoms on the internet. Know why we don't bother. Because it's all coming out in court, honey, from the attorneys we hired back in March. Where are those logs? Oh, and you might want to try spamming dirt sheets with actual final versions of the contract if you're going to break confidentiality. But hey, that's cool. Something else we'll add to the list of offenses. Thanks. Should we release phone calls? Kind of want to release the phone calls now since we playing petty, apparently. Matt Hardy also responded, I tell the truth, and I don't need to desperately overcompensate to prove my public credibility. My facts will be shared via the correct venue. Then, to follow up on PW Insider, there was an interview with Billy Corgan on Wednesday. We're not going to go with that, but this was the big gist of everything. And in the contract that was released by Ned Norholm, it says, any ideas or characters designed by the independent contractor under Impact Wrestling are the properties and rights of Impact Wrestling. So if that's true, it's a pretty open and shut case.
Yeah. I think that's where you kind of begin and end. Where if that's true, then a long conversation doesn't matter because at the end of the day, Impact owns the rights to the broken characters and that is it. However, this continues to show why TNA and Impact and Anthem Sports and Ed Norholm will never be more than just a C-list wrestling promotion because of what they've done here. Where they could have dealt with this very privately and dealt with it very easily and simply, involving lawyers and just being straight to the point. Instead, this became a couple kids stomping their feet and getting upset and making a big mess of this social media-wise that was unnecessary. And it's a shame that it got to this point. It's a shame that this is something that we're going to be talking about because this is something that should have been left between the Hardys and Anthem Sports and WWE possibly just because the three of them. I do wonder about the other contract. I think that's going to play a big role in all this. But I also
if there is another contract, TNA hasn't confirmed or denied if there is another contract. So, and it is the contract from when they were TNA to when they changed the Impact, and how does that work?
Yeah, see, and that's a lot of things that that's a lot of questions that are unanswered. And I mean, that's the biggest thing where there's a lot of mess right now, but strip all the unnecessary mess, the social media, the moves made by the companies, strip it down to the very bare bones at the source is the contracts. If there's one contract, then the Hardys, there will be no broken Matt Hardy in WWE. If there's another contract, then that opens the door for potential. But strip everything down, bare bones, to these two things. It's either there's going to either be a potential for broken Matt Hardy in WWE, or there's not. And I don't know how that impacts Matt's future. I know Jeff's going to be just fine because Jeff will be able to.
Just fine, yeah, just fine.
But this impacts Matt. So I don't know. He seems to be a creative guy, so I don't think you need to worry too much because I think he can rise above this. It's a shame that it's going to be this way, but it seems that we're not going to know the final verdict unless we find out about the contract. And that's going to be waiting for Meltzer or a few other respected journalists to kind of come up with something.
I found it interesting too, on Monday, after this Norholm interview had came out, the original picture of the graphic for WWE had Matt with the kind of broken smile. And they changed the graphic to him just kind of looking normal.
Yeah. So it shows that WWE's getting cold feet. I would not be surprised if that white streak suddenly starts to disappear.
Well, WWE has to be smart because they don't want to get a lawsuit over something so stupid. If they don't have the rights to the IP, they don't want to mess around with it. I'm sure Vince and them would like it. I don't believe them. I believe more what Rebbe is saying, that TNA said have it for this much and they lowballed them, and because they didn't agree to the terms that they wanted, that they said, like, oh, they have no interest in it. And it was never specified who this employee was, but it doesn't sound like it's any like of the big hitters that you would have to talk to.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, and that's why a lot of this is just a lot of maneuvering and a lot of just positioning. I think one company is trying to position themselves in one way. WWE hasn't released any statements on it because they don't have to.
I think too, like, Meltzer hasn't said as much about it, but like if Mark Carano was involved, we would have heard Mark Carano's name. If Hunter was involved, we would have heard Triple H's name. If Vince was involved, we would have heard Triple H, Stephanie, yada, yada, yada. And none of those names were released. So I don't know who this person they talked to. But if it wasn't Carano and Triple H, I don't know who you're talking to that deals with talent.
Yeah. I don't either.
So that's – and maybe the next conference call that Hunter has, he'll be asked about it directly.
Yeah, he probably will.
Just being that he does deal with talent. I thought it was just, and I got to commend John Pollock too. It has had to have been a very difficult week for him because he's conducted this interview and technically he works for Anthem Sports. So it's gotta be very hard for him. He's got some people saying like what was he supposed to say? Like he's been, I think he's more upset too, because it's a very good interview. You know, it talks about TNA touring again and the Indian tour they're going on. But nobody cares about any of that in an interview. All they cared about was the Hardys. And Norholm had declined an interview over and over and over again with the guys from The Law and Pollock until finally out of nowhere they finally decided on it. And on Monday Night Raw, as things were starting to come out a little bit and the Twitter stuff was starting to get beefed up, the Anthem Sports had asked Pollock if they could vet his interview. And he turned them down, which, as a fellow journalist, I totally commend him on doing that, especially having the pressure that this is a company that kind of you work for.
Yeah. It's
a tricky situation.
It's a mess. From the interview itself to the actual subject at hand, everything is a mess. Mm-hmm. Anything that involves Anthem or TNA, and you know how I feel about TNA, it's just a mess. And
well, I mean, I think, you know, on the Jericho podcast with Jeff and Dean this way, they said it best. Like, they were all huddled around in the locker room in Japan watching it. And you and I, since we had started this podcast all the way back in 2014, the only time we had talked about TNA was, are they going to sell it? And then we'd have the sell conversation every, 8 months? And then we'd be like, okay, Joel, who should they pick up? But this was the first time we could talk positively about a program in TNA since I can remember, and we enjoyed it. We went out of our way to watch the broken stuff because it was enjoyable television. My best non-wrestling performer on awards was the damn drone. The main thing that people loved about TNA at that point, Impact Wrestling, I'm always going to call it TNA, who cares, was the broken stuff.
Yeah, no, the broken stuff was absolutely was one of the highlights. And again, it just, I'm at the point now, I'm done talking about TNA. I don't want to talk. No, I.
We're going to be talking about it a lot more in the coming weeks as this goes on. Mm-hmm. And
you'll do a lot of talking. I'll just smile and nod.
I think the only thing that is really going to solve this is it's going to have to go to court.
Yeah, that's the only spot. There's nowhere else that could be solved.
Because neither side is going to say that they were wrong, you know?
It's got to go to court. So let it go to court, and then we'll get a decision, and then we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm. And run through the latest in WWE this week. We have the Mae Young Women's Tournament. That will be the name of the Women's Tournament. So I think we're both pretty excited about this.
Yeah.
We don't really know the women yet, so we'll find out that. Tajiri and the WWE have officially parted ways. He came in to be a part of 205 Live, and he got injured, and he just kind of, it just never kind of clicked.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. And really, that's... Oh, and Eric Bischoff and Jim Cornette are going to be in an edition of Table for Three together.
Well, that's going to be interesting.
And who is it exactly on it? Eric Bischoff... Oh, wow. Eric Bischoff, Jim Cornette, and Michael P.S. Hayes this week.
Oh, boy.
I feel bad for the editor on that one.
That took a lot of work.
Dana Warrior was at the NXT tapings. NXT tapings were very interesting. As NXT goes on, we'll talk about it afterwards. We don't need to spoil stuff.
Yeah.
But there is some excellent stuff from NXT this week. So we'll hit NXT. And by the way, that NXT pay-per-view this week was fantastic. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, one of the best matches of the year.
But it didn't have Tokyo Dome, so no
questions. Didn't have Tokyo Dome. 4.7 stars. That should have been a 5-star match. And
4.75.
And the turn by Ciampa.
Yep. Yeah. We got the Gargano. We got that. We're going to get that Gargano and Ciampa feud. Psycho Killer versus Johnny Wrestling.
So that's the podcast right there. As Joel, I think, is too tired to talk about anything else. So we're going to end it on that note. What did you think about the Hardy stuff? Leave us tweets at FreshTake42. And if not, StickBoyYYC as well. And also hit us at one under fall under pod on Instagram and one fall on Facebook. And until next time, cheers.
TNA sucks.
Enjoy the day, people.